Yep.
Bruce Beckers and Ron Saar are here to answer your automotive questions. They come in on this 1 hour once a month.
Let's talk engine heaters to start off this morning. Bruce, you want to talk about those? What are they?
Absolutely. Block heaters, you know, we haven't thought about them for a long time. And this year, with all this cold weather, we've had a lot of calls on them. And it's a way that you can run a cord to your car and plug it in, and it will heat up the water in your engines. And, of course, a lot of things have changed with the way blocks have changed on the motors. And so sometimes we have engine heaters that go into a freeze plug, and a lot of the newer cars won't accept that, and they even have a glued-on magnetic heater or a panel heater that they glue onto the pan. And that seems to be a lot of standard type heaters for some of the cars with aluminum engine pans. And as far as these heaters go, you know, you don't have to have them plugged in all night. You can plug them in for just a few hours before you start your car. And if you, some people have a switch in their house with a switch plug, that works when you get up in the morning. Or if not, a heavy-duty timer that you can buy at the hardware store and then set the time when you want to come in so you don't have to use energy all night long.
All right, let's go to a phone. It's Greg. He has a question for the mechanics here on KFGO. Go ahead, Greg.
Yes, sir. Yeah, when you, bitter cold morning when you go out to start your car, the guy was telling me, this is automatic transmission, he was telling me to, you know, start it and then pull it down into neutral, and then, of course, set the emergency brake, and then that way, you know, the transmission fluid also warms up rather than having it park. Is there some truth to that, or what's your take on
that? There certainly is some truth to that on certain cars. Not all cars flow the torque converter and all the fluid in park. And so, especially on Dodge products for a long, long time, Dodge products did not flow the converter oil until you put it in neutral. So you warmed it up all day long, and the torque converter, the oil hadn't moved yet, and put it into gear, and it's very delayed, and that's because that oil's still ice cold. And so there are certainly some issues with that on especially the Dodge products. And I wouldn't say on every product. And if you talk to your transmission person, someone should be able to tell you about how that flow works, because like most of GM stuff warms up right away. You don't have to worry about that. And I think Ford, too. It's mostly a Dodge issue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Andy. You're on KFGO with Our Mechanics.
We've got an automatic transmission question, too. 1996 Chevrolet K1500. When the weather is really cold and you've start it up and flip it into reverse, you can feel it kind of, it's like the clutches must take up a little bit, but you won't back up. But if you let the end, if you let it sit there and run for, you know, like they put it in park and just go let it run for about 3, 4, 5 minutes, then you will be able to back up and everything. Forward works just fine, but reverse is kind of the slow one when it's really cold.
And this is one of the things that's happened with all the severe cold that we've had this winter, is you're seeing weak things show their head. And what's happening with the transmission that's in your vehicle is that either there's two sets of clutches that come on in reverse, and the seals that are pushing these clutches on have become hard, and they have to warm up enough so it can push the piston up. So certainly is a big deal as far as, the transmission has delayed reverse. If you let the car warm up, it'll definitely prolong the life of it. And you know, warming it up will be your best option at this point until it won't back up for any time.
Ron Saar and Bruce Beckers, we have a couple of text messages. Let's try to get to those quickly. JNS, I have a 1997 Chevy Malibu, and it won't idle when it warms up.
I guess you know, we'd have to look at it. You know, when it's cold, obviously your engine's running a lot faster, so sometimes that'll show that doesn't have a miss to it. But I guess we'd like to know how many miles are on the car, and it could be something simple as a tune-up. If you've got over 100,000 miles on it, it might need plugs or wires. Or when it warms up, too, could have something to do with the fuel pressure or fuel regulator that's leaking on it. That'd be my advice, I guess.
Can't really diagnose on the phone, but those are some good leads to follow up on. Thank you, Ron. Mm-hmm. This is Ron Saar and Bruce Beckers. The mechanics are in for Doug on KFGO.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a 05 Cadillac Seville, and my pretty much all my idiot lights came on. I got the brake light, the traction control, and all those in the right-hand corner of the dash. And with that, I don't get my heater to work.
Whenever you have multiple lights that come on all at once, we start to worry about that we've lost power. Lots of times it has to do with what's called secondary ignition feed. And when that power goes to from your ignition system to all of these other items, the lights turn on right away and things start to malfunction. So the first step when all these lights are going to come on is you're going to have to get in and find out what codes have been set and then what do all of these codes have to do with each other. Once you get the answer to that, it'll give you a good ideas of where we're going next.
This one is about a 2003 Tahoe service four-wheel drive indicator came on, guys. What is the possible problem? What is the possible cost of a repair?
Certainly a pretty easy thing to diagnose. When that service four-wheel drive light comes on, it will set some codes that we can see through a computer that we hook to the car. Generally, the easiest thing is if the switches on the dash go bad. Other things, there's an encoder motor that actually actuates the transfer case, speed sensors, and then, of course, the front differential actuator. So there are about five or six things that could happen here.
Here's another text message, gentlemen. JNS, 1999 Chevy Tahoe, 130,000 miles, sometimes takes a while to start. Well, yeah. You want me to take this one?
Yeah, go ahead. I don't know. Is it turning over or not turning over the engine I guess.
It takes a while to start. So it ultimately starts. Yeah. So
fuel pressure would be the first thing that we would check to see what's happening with fuel pressure with a gauge on it. When you turn it, does the fuel pressure come right back up? And when you turn it off, does it hold fuel pressure for a second? Or does it let all the fuel run back into the tank? So that would be the beginning.
It might need gas. May need a battery.
Well, we've had that before where, you know, if he turns the key on and off three or four times and lets it build up pressure, and then tries to start it and see what happens there also.
There's another one for you. If the mechanics, that would be you guys, were to buy their ideal winter vehicle for traction in snow and on ice, what would it be? A truck or a car?
Well,
if you want the ultimate traction, something that has weight all around. So, Jeep used to be always the best car because it weighed a lot in the front and the rear, and it had good weight. So, you know, things that are a body that's not light in the rear and not light in the front, something like that, an all-wheel drive.
This person has some more questions. Someone told me that an all-wheel vehicle is hurt by driving it on dry pavement. They also said that a front-wheel drive car is better in the winter than a four-wheel drive truck, that all wheels driven is only useful to start off with. Is there a vehicle that defaults to front-wheel drive and you can turn into four-wheel drive? Don't most vehicles that are four-wheel drive default to rear wheel when and if you can turn all the all-wheel drive off? There you go. That's pretty cool.
Subaru advertises on TV that it's symmetrical all-wheel drive. So they're saying that it directs it to the wheel that you need going, and it's a full-time all-wheel drive system. Most of the General Motors stuff that is longitudinal engine, meaning that it has a transmission behind the engine, are rear-wheel drive priority. But cars that have front-wheel drive priority, like Acadia and Enclave and Ford Edge, those would be all-wheel drive systems that are dominant front-wheel drive cars that would kick the rear wheels in through speed sensors.
Is anything good on ice? I mean, nothing's good on ice, is it?
Not really.
No.
And you know, like, if you have, like pickups, you know, like, I drive a Ford pickup, and there's several pickups where if the roads are bad and you switch to four-wheel high, then, you could still drive, you know, 55, 60 and four high. But the biggest thing people have to realize, like on ice and snow, is just take your time.
By the way, I want to make mention, I stopped by over at SARS Sudden Service the other day. There are guys that put some more air in my tires. That whole thing is still going on. And It's slowed down lately since it got above sub-zero. But I had them put some of those winter wipers on, and I had actually used my last pair of winter wipers for like two seasons, including summer, and they do need to be replaced, even though it looks like there's a lot of rubber there. And, man, is there a difference in the way they work?
Oh, yeah, wipers wear out just like any car, you know, and depending, you know, if it's summertime or wintertime, obviously in the summertime, the summer blades are better, and in the wintertime, the winter blades are better.